You may be seated, and if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. My subject this morning, God is a rewarder. When I penned that title, my mind immediately went to Hebrews 11:6, because the Bible says God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. But I'm not going to preach from that text this morning. I'm just going to talk about a God who is a rewarder and how to tap into the resources that God has for your life. We have practiced a 21-day fast here at Westmoreland for a number of years now. And every year when I'm thinking about the first of the year, my mind immediately goes to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Look at it with me. Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There are three things in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus gives us specific direction to do as a child of God. These are three principles that activate God's miracle-working power and God's favor in your life. Now, we like to end our service by saying, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Well, how do you get to that place of being blessed and highly favored of God? It's to put God first. We worship on the first day of the week. We seek first the kingdom of God. We honor God with first fruits. He wants first place in our lives. But these three principles that I'm going to preach on today, they will activate the miracle working power and the rewards of God in your life. And there's a reward that's attached to each of these three principles. And when you follow them, God says, I will reward you openly. Not the pastor, but God says, I will reward you openly. Jesus is speaking. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms or your giving before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Verse 3. But when you give, when you do alms, let not your left hand know what the right hand is doing. And your giving, which is in secret, the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly. So when we give, God says, I'm going to reward you openly, which means other people will see God's blessings upon your life. Now look at Matthew 6 and 5. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogue in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their rewards. They got the reward of man. That's all they got. But thou, when you pray, enter your closet, and when you've shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father, your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you how? Openly. Verse 16, Jesus said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, they disfigure their face, that they may appear unto men to fast. Truly I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Why? Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Now, we're doing a corporate fast, but God says in the book of Joel, sanctify a people, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And so the principles that I'm going to be teaching today, they will activate God's favor, and God will reward you openly if you will follow these simple principles that Jesus taught. My subject, God is rewarder. Brother Philip, God has rewarded you so much. Would you please come and ask the Lord's blessings upon this message? Hallelujah.
Father God, thank you today, yes, for the privilege this hours to gather in your name, without fear of reprisal. Thank you, Lord, today, hallelujah, for your presence in our midst, where two or three are gathered in your name, you're right there too. And we thank you for being here today. We pray that you would bless, Lord, this service. We pray that you would anoint our brother. Yes. Give him Holy Ghost anointing to deliver to us the oracles of God. Pray that you would anoint our hearts and our ears and our minds and our wills to hear, to receive, and to obey your word today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. Jesus did not say, if you give, or if you pray, or if you fast. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. These are three things that Jesus expects his church to do. I'm convinced that fasting is the gateway through which God releases his supernatural miracle-working power and his supernatural abundance. I'm convinced of that. I've practiced this for about 38 years, and it's very real in my heart, the power of these three disciplines. It's interesting that Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus ties giving, praying, and fasting with a command, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, when you give, the Father will reward you openly. He said, when you pray, the Father will reward you openly. He said, when you fast, the Father will reward you openly. And then he ties giving, praying, and fasting together with that command, but seek ye first. See, I read you Matthew chapter 1 and following, and then I quoted to begin with Matthew 6:33. Showing you that these three principles let God know that when we do these, when we practice these three things, we are seeking him first and his kingdom. Now, this is a discipline, fasting, that's been hidden from the church for many years. Brother Philip Pearson came here after going to church 50 years somewhere else, 55 years, he said. And he said, I had never been taught to fast. I had heard preaching about fasting, but I had never been taught to fast. And so I've been doing this because I just had so many need in my life that I needed God's help. You see, there are some blessings that come only by giving. There are some blessings that come only by praying. There are some blessings that come by prayer and fasting coupled together. And if you're going to give Jesus the first place that he deserves in your life, then we must, as a church and as an individual, we must pray and we must fast. Now, these three things will activate God's favor in your life quicker than anything else I know. If you're seeking God's kingdom first, guess what? You are obeying God, and obedience is better than sacrifice. You don't have to go and ask God to forgive you for some practice sin. You just take an inward look and you say, God, I'm coming short on the fruit of the Spirit, so help me. And as you seek God like that, see, God casts a special eye. God loves a cheerful giver, but can you imagine God sitting on his throne and he sees somebody that gives cheerfully, hilariously, and he casts a special eye upon them? Says God loves a cheerful giver. Well, the Bible says God so loved the world. He loves the whole world. He gave heaven's best. But then after he gave heaven's best and redeemed us, he expects us, because he's alive and he's watching everything we do, he expects us to obey his commandments, to keep them, and to do what is pleasing in God's sight. And so giving and praying and fasting, you know, they bring forth God's tremendous blessings upon us. If we're going to give the Lord first place, then we must give, pray, and fast. Giving and praying and fasting gives us the supernatural edge for a miracle breakthrough. I probably preach on that. I started to take and preach some of that this morning. I said, no, I think I'll save that to Wednesday or next Sunday. I'm going to talk about the fasting edge and the edge that it gives you in bringing forth God's supernatural blessings into your life. Giving, praying, and fasting give us that supernatural edge. These three things will activate God's favor in your life, because Jesus said, if you do these things, God will reward you openly. Jesus made it very clear that fasting and giving and praying is a normal part of the Christian life. That's why I teach, I preach, and I practice fasting. Hallelujah. Now, we teach seed time, harvest time principles here every week, and this is a blessed church. So I'm going to devote the balance of this message to prayer and fasting. You should understand seed time, harvest, and if you're not practicing it, it's certainly not because you haven't been taught it, because Brother Elam Johnson gives a seed time, harvest time principle every week. And we do that to teach God's people the power of sowing a seed. There's a seed time and there's a harvest time. So I'm going to devote this message, the balance of it, on these three principles that Jesus taught, to prayer and fasting. Fasting is a choice. And when a Christian begins to fast, that person has chosen to draw close to God. Job said, God, I desire your presence more than my necessary food. Well, if you've never fasted, you don't understand that. But if you have, you understand some of the things that you will experience in a fast. Well, I made the choice to fast over 38 years ago, and I cannot begin to tell about the blessings, the power, and the anointing that it has brought to my own life. And some of you know what I'm talking about. As a young Christian, no one told me to fast, and no one taught me how to fast. I just knew that when I read my Bible for the first time, that there are some mountains that you can only move through prayer and fasting. And so I started a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. And I noticed that as I prayed and fasted, that my prayers were much, much more effective. I learned this discipline on my own. But over the years, I've gleaned some wonderful truth from others, and have some great material out on fasting and prayer now. And I've given out today a handout on the four types of fast. And I'm going to take time to review this, because it's not enough for me to just say it. If you don't do it, guess what? You deceive your own self. Because James, the brother of Jesus, said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you don't give, you have deceived yourself. If you don't pray, you have deceived yourself. If you don't fast, you have deceived your own self. You might have a religious spirit. You might come to church all the time, and you might love to come and sing the songs. But if you don't follow these disciplines, let me tell you something. The devil didn't deceive you. You have deceived your own self. If you're not living a holy life, guess what? You have deceived your own self. The Bible says in James 1:22, I don't have it in the notes there, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So fasting is a choice. And I learned this discipline on my own. Now, I've made it possible with this handout for everyone to practice and participate in this time of fasting and prayer. And I've made it possible for you to tap into the resources that God has promised. I want to take a look at the handout. If you don't have one, hold your hand up and the ushers will bring you one. But what is fasting? That's the first thing we should, because people said, I fasted television, I fasted the movie. That's not fasting, okay? So let's just get fasting defined to start with. What is fasting? Well, Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines fasting as to abstain from food, look at your hand there, to eat sparingly, or to abstain from some food. So food and water are two different things. To do without food results in hunger. It's on your hand there. To do without water results in thirst. So that's what fasting is. It is to abstain from food, to eat sparingly, or to eat some food. Bible talks about gluttons. America is a nation that we have abundance, and we have to watch what we eat. I don't want to dig my grave with my fork. Okay? This is a hard subject for some people. But I promise you that if you will look at this with me with an open mind and an open heart, it will bring blessings into your life like you have never imagined possible. What are the four types of fast? Well, first of all, look at your hand at the full fast. You drink only water and you set the number of days. Nobody sets it. We're not under the law. We're doing a 21-day corporate fast. But if you don't want to participate in all 21 days, that's up to you. Amen. Jensen Franklin written a lot of materials on it. He said the first day of his fast, he drank some coffee. He said, I'm not under the law. He says, I just do it because I'm real grumpy without it. That's what he wrote. I didn't write that. So you know your body and I know my body, but I've done this a week ahead of time, and I did that so you can start tapering off on some things. If you know you're going to fast and you're not going to drink coffee, don't wait till the last day to do it. Start tapering off. Start cutting back on some of your eating. So the first fast is a full fast. You drink water only. You set the number of days. I've done those many times in my life, 10, 14, 21 days. Nobody taught me to do that. I started with juice, and then I progressed until I got into real fasting. Secondly, the juice fast. You drink juice and you set the number of days. You can drink all the juice you want, but I promise you, you will be hungry no matter how much juice that you drink. If you do a complete fast, fast number one, guess what? You will not be hungry after 3 days. You will have what is called habit hunger. And on the eighth day, something phenomenal will happen to your body. Your body, it will, new strength will flow into you, and you think, I could do this forever. But you can't. My wife, she used to get on me. She'd say, Charity, you know how bad you look. Look at the weight you've lost. And, you know, she hadn't learned the discipline I had. Now she's done a 21-day fast with me. And so it brings tremendous blessings. But the juice fast, I cannot do a 10-day fast anymore. I tried it. And when I did, I take a blood pressure pill. And guess what? That thing, it flushed all the chemicals out of my body. And my heart was just racing. I went to the doctor, and I told him what I'd done. I thought he would rebuke me. He didn't. And they gave me some of that stuff that you put in your arms, you know, when you need a boost. And one of them did the job for me. I came preach the next day and was feeling great. But the juice fast, you drink juice only, and you set the number of days. Then there's the Daniel fast, fast number three. This is probably the easiest one for anybody. You eat no sweets, no meats, and no bread, and you can do that for 21 days, and that's found in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 8, no present food. I had a friend of mine, he called me and said, will you do me a favor? I said, what's that? He said, will you fast with me for 40 days? I said, what do you have in mind? He said, I said, why do you want to do it? He said, I've got an opportunity to get a church. He was an evangelist. Then I went to his revivals and worked his altars, and He said, I want to get a church, and we did it for 40 days. I would call my wife from work. I'd say, get the food on the table. I will be home right after 5 o'clock. I'm driving straight home, and I'll be ready to eat. And I got to where I was eating in courses. I just dragged that thing out because I knew it was going to be 24 hours before I ate again. That was torture. If you can do the first fast, I can show you how to do it, and I can go back a few days, but I can't keep going, okay? Fourthly, the partial fast. A partial fast is from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. or from sunup to sundown. See, in this fast, you eat one meal a day. This is the fast that most of the Hebrew people practice from sunup to sundown. They still do that to this day. In this partial fast, you can choose a full fast. You can choose a juice fast. You can choose the Daniel fast or any combination thereof. Remember, fasting means to abstain from food, to eat sparingly, or to abstain from some food. So that's how you fast, and four different ways that you can fast, and anyone in here can participate in that type of fast. So pray about it and ask the Lord, what would he have you to do? Now, the church was born when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and it was made up of Jewish believers only. when those disciples went into that little upper room, they tarried there for 10 days. The Bible says they were continually in the temple praying and praising God. That means that they weren't going out to eat. They were continually praying and fasting. They were waiting for the descent of the Holy Ghost because Jesus said, I'm going to send another Comforter, the Holy Ghost. They went into that little upper room. He said, tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. They were praying. They were fasting. They were seeking God. And suddenly, the Holy Ghost hit that place like of a mighty rushing wind. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They went out and did signs and wonders and turned their world upside down. They were Jewish believers only. Now, Jesus had said earlier, salvation is of the Jews only. Look at John 4:23. Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's what we've been doing today. See, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, God the Father, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Prayer and fasting helps us to tap into the spirit world. How does that happen, Pastor? Because I'm denying my flesh. I'm seeking to walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it all begins to fit together when you read your Bible and see it. Now, there were some strange things happening in the early days of the church. The Jews thought that salvation belonged to them and to them only. There was a man named Cornelius, however. He was a Gentile. He believed in God, the God of Jehovah of the Old Testament, but he was a Gentile. He wanted to be saved, but he didn't know how to be saved. He heard about Jesus. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He may have even heard Jesus preach his Sermon on the Mount. We don't know that. We don't. But we do know this. He wanted to know God, and the Bible says that he prayed, he gave, he prayed, and he fasted. He was following those three disciplines in the Sermon on the Mount, those three foundational principles that Jesus had taught, because he wanted to know God. So he gave, he prayed, and he fasted. He wanted to know this God that the Hebrews talked about, a God that had opened the Red Sea, a God that had made the sun stand still, a God that brought three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace, the God that shut the mouth of lions when Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, the God who covered them with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, the God who caused the walls of Jericho to fall. He had heard these stories that they told because this was their history, and they told it everywhere they went. It was powerful that he wanted to know this God, and that tells me something. If you want to know God, give, pray, and fast, and God will show up, and God will reward you openly. Now, we read about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Acts 10 and 1, look at this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italians. He was he was not a Hebrew, he was a Gentile. Verse 2, he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. Look at this, which gave much alms. He gave generously to the people. And he prayed to God. Can you imagine the people that are praying to God in this nation that don't come through Jesus? They're trying to get to God in the foreign lands. They cut themselves. They do all kind of stuff to trying to appease their gods when there's one way to God, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus. There was one sacrifice. His name is Jesus. Neither is there salvation in none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And that name is Jesus. What healed the man at the gate? Beautiful. Peter said it was his name, through faith in his name. Yea, His name has made this man strong, whom you know him. He has healed him. It was just the name. And this man had heard about Jesus, evidently, and he wanted to know how to get saved, and he gave generously, and he prayed. And he saw in a vision, look at verse 3, evidently, about the ninth hour, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy giving has come up as a memorial before God. You know what a memorial is? It's something you drive down. It's come up as a memorial that God casts a special eye. God parted the Jordan, they took 12 stones out and put them there so they could tell the people about it. It was a memorial. And you, every time you give and every time you pray and every time you fast, it goes up as a memorial before God. And God looks on your heart with special interest because he knows you didn't come to play church. He knows you came to worship him in spirit and in truth and to obey him. And his prayers went up before God as a memorial. Now look at verse 5. And the angel said, And now send to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Look at this. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you should do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them, that waited on him continually. He called a trusted man. And when he had declared all these things unto him, everything the angel had told him, he sent him to Joppa. Now, here was a Gentile believer who wanted to be saved. His name was Cornelius. He believed in Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament, but he wasn't saved. He had heard about Jesus, and faith was born in his heart, and he wanted to be saved. He didn't know how to get saved. He needed someone to come to him and to help him. There are sinners all around us. They're hurting, and they need someone to tell them about Jesus. There are people all around us. They're not saved, and if they die, they're going to end up in a devil's hell for eternity. They need someone to come to them and to tell them about Jesus. Oh, God, help us. See, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Cornelius was fasting, he was praying, and he was seeking God. I don't know how long he had been praying and fasting. I just know that he was fasting and praying and seeking God at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. He was earnest. He really meant business with God. He was a devout man. He was seeking the face of God, and God heard his prayers. And while he was praying, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. The angel said, Send to Joppa, ask for a man named Simon Peter. Look at this. This is a word of knowledge. He's staying with a man named Simon. Simon is a tanner of animal hides. And by the way, his house is by the seaside. Now, aren't you glad that God knows your address? Aren't you glad that God knows who you are and God knows where you are? Aren't you glad that the God that knows who you are and where you are, that he can solve your problems? Hallelujah. He knows who is in church today and who isn't. He knows who came to worship him. He knows those who want to be in church today, but they cannot be here because of the circumstances that they're facing in life. See, God keeps good records, and God knows the thought and the intent of our heart. My wife doesn't even know the thought and intent of my heart. I can con some people, and you can con some people, but you can't con God. God knows what you've already purposed to do, and God knows what you're going to do. And God loves you so much, He spared not his own son to save you and to save me. He spared nothing to bring us into this great salvation. But God knows whose heart is right toward him. The angel said, Cornelius, send for Peter, and he will come and he will tell you what you ought to do. And immediately Cornelius sends his most trusted men to Joppa. Now, I want you to watch this miracle unfold. The other half of Cornelius' miracle is tied to another man. Whose miracle is tied to your life? Is it important what you do? You better believe it is. There are little eyes watching you. There are little children. There are older people. There's a world watching you. And they wonder, what will you do in the circumstances of life? What will you do when the tests and the trials come to your life? How will you react? Is your God real? Is he real to you? My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has saved and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has saved, healed me, and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real. Woo! Glory! I can feel him in my soul. Sing it with me. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has saved and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, my God is real, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Woo! The other half of Cornelius' miracle is tied to a man named Peter. Look at Acts 10 and 9. On the morrow, as they went on that journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6 hours, 12 noon, lunchtime. Okay? It's time to eat. Verse 10, he became very hungry. Time to eat, but he's going to pray. He's fasting. He would have eaten, but while he made ready, he fell into a trance. See, he would have eaten, but he's fasting. He fell into a trance. Peter was praying, and it's evident that he was fasting. Look at verse 10. Look at Acts 10 and 10. It says, because the Holy Ghost put special emphasis on the word, he became very hungry. The Holy Ghost said he became very hungry and would have eaten. And you don't become very hungry unless you're fasting. The Bible says he became very hungry. He would have eaten. And while the meal was being prepared, Peter fell into a trance. And God showed Peter a vision and all types of four-footed animals and creeping fowl in the air. And God says, rise, kill Peter, and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the Lord spoke a second time. And the Lord said, what God has cleansed, don't you call that common. Don't you call it unclean. Some people come in here, they're alcoholics. Others come, they're drug addicts. Some people, prostitutes, homosexuals, and lesbians. But if God cleanses them, don't ever look down your sanctified nose and call them unclean. God is a good God. Oh, we got a religious spirit all through the church world today. God doesn't bring that. There's no condemnation of them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. The Bible says, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He talks about adultery, liars, thieves, homosexuals, effeminates, that's homosexuals and lesbians, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. Look around you. Don't go open my closet door. I don't want you to look in there. It's none of your business. God took my sin, cast them into a sea of forgetfulness. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. For he has made him, heaven's greatest gift, to be made sin for us with our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You have God's righteousness. And if you make a mistake, you have an advocate with the Father. Come back and confess your sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We don't sanction sin. We just show the way out of sin. Such were some of you. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been delivered in the name of Jesus and by the power of God. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now watch this miracle unfold. The Spirit told Peter, three men at the gate, they're looking for you. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. God sends us to people. So Peter goes and he preaches the gospel to the Gentiles that are gathered at Cornelius' house. And they're all saved and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. The church that was born on the day of Pentecost, but the Gentiles, that's you and me, we were grafted in when that miracle happened that day at Cornelius' house. And now God has reached across the national boundaries and the Gentiles have been brought into the kingdom of God. What was it that brought this miracle? What was it that released the power of God so that the Gentiles, that's you and me, could receive the same gift that the Jews received on the day of Pentecost? It was prayer and fasting. Peter asked Cornelius, he said, why did you send for me? Peter didn't know what had happened. He just knew what the Holy Ghost told him. See, God gives us words, and we act on them in faith. But so we're connected to someone else's miracle, and God talks to all kind of people. Look at the response of Cornelius in Acts 10:38. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, look at this, I was fasting unto this hour. And at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. The angel came in response to Cornelius' prayer because he had coupled his prayer with fasting. Cornelius was praying and fasting. And look at this, the other side of the equation. Peter was praying and fasting. And God's power was released and salvation was given to the Gentiles because of prayer and fasting. What will happen when we fast for 21 days and pray and fast and obey the Holy Ghost like they did back then when God poured out the Spirit to the Gentiles? We will bring many sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. People will be saved. People will be healed. The miracle working power and the abundance of God will be poured out because God has found a people who are not interested in religion. They're interested in knowing him. I encourage you to participate in this. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your prayers to be answered? Do you want to see God's power and miracles happen in your life? Do you want to see the lost saved? Do you want to see the sick healed? Do you want to see the miracle working power of God in your life? Do you want to see supernatural abundance show up because of your giving, your praying, and your fasting? Do you want to see that? The secret to it is in the three principles that I have shared with you this morning. I love you with the love of the Lord. Let us stand.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life
is in your hands.
Is in your hands.
All that I am, Lord.
I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so give myself away.
See, what I've taught this morning is not what religion teaches. It's what Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount. God in the flesh, who wanted to please his Father, did he fast in his wilderness experience for 40 days and 40 nights. Most people, after they were baptized in that Old Testament, in the New Testament when Jesus came, they would go home and eat a meal and celebrate, but not Jesus. Jesus was led of the Spirit. One translation, Luke's gospel said he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness to face his arch rival, the devil. He prayed and he fasted and went through the temptations. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and fame went out for him. Power flowed out of him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That was the time when God sanctioned him with the power of the Spirit. He returned to Galilee, the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit. Angels, they were there. The Spirit was there. And the Father was there. And the Son was there. And we're sons of God. And there's a world waiting on us. And I want to thank you for signing up that sign-up sheet and participating in this. Whatever you can do, you're not under the law. You're under grace. Whatever you and the Lord decide. And as your pastor, I'll support you and help you any way I can. I give myself away, Lord.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you
I give myself to you, Pastor. Fresh and anew today.
Give myself away.
Thank you, Lord.